morning, then Psalms chapter number 51. Preacher sent me a message here, Steve. The flesh part of me is wanting to say, no, I can't. I didn't have one. I said, Lord, I'm going to need help. And he laid two passages on my heart, both of them dealing with the same thing. So I know it don't seem right with everything else we've heard this morning, but this is where I'm going to be at. Psalms 51, if you find your place, I'll invite you to stand and read it to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1, it starts out, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, there thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part, and thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy of gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering, and then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. I'll ask Ronnie if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Lord, I ask you to be with Brother Adams. He stands before us to preach, Lord, have him preach whatever you laid on his heart, and have us have open hearts to take it in, Lord. Just remember throughout the service, Lord, just remember if it's any lost and sin-sick who don't know you, that they become to know you first, it's turning too late. First, in Jesus Christ's name, we ask you. Amen.
We see in Psalms chapter number 51 and the other passages the Lord had led us to and led us read through with Psalms 32, both dealing with the same aspects of which David has had sin inside of his life to come in. And he's trying to get things right and square back up with God or where he can go on serving with the Lord. Kind of goes along with what Chris has already taught this morning. He's determined in his heart to go with God, even in the midst of the sin that has overtaken his life. We see that, we all know the sin of David. We see that he had looked upon Bathsheba. We see that the adultery had taken place. We see that he had sent her husband into the heat of the battle and more or less had him killed. David didn't commit the murder himself, but he would have had a hand in all that taking place for all that to work out. And David thought it was be good in his sight. The first thing we noticed that sin would present itself to you and I is in the moment that it's presented, sin is always going to be attractive to us. That's the flesh that we are in. It is never presented at an aspect of where you see the backside of it, to where you see the corruption that would come and the hurt and the hardship that comes our way. But as we would begin to dive into this and think about David and the sin that he committed, you and I would look at it and I myself, I'm guilty of it. I classify sins on a scale. I mean, there's ones over here that I would say those are little things that, you know, we would like to let slide by sometimes. And then we'd look at David and we'd say, that's a great sin that he's committed. But in the eyes of God, it's all sin. It's all a barrier. It's all a separation between us and God. There's no little or big. There is just sin inside of the heart of the child of God that can separate our fellowship with him. No matter how attractive that sin may be at the time that it's presented to you and us, at the time that we would step in and commit that sin, there's always going to be a repercussion to come. The child of God, David here, is a child of God. This is dealing with a child of God getting back to where God can use them again. He's not talking about unsaved people. He's talking about a child of God. You and I are robed in flesh. I would be sadly mistaken that I go through life after salvation and not commit sin against God. That's a daily thing in my life. That's a daily thing in your life if you're honest about it. And that's a daily thing that has to be taken care of in order for me to have fellowship with the Lord. We wonder why our churches are not going nowhere with the Lord no more. It's because that we've not got serious about dealing with the sinful things. We want all the happy things to come about. We want to worship God. We want to praise God. We want to feel God's presence inside of the service. We want God to move and bless our life. But we're not serious about getting the barriers out of the way to where God can move and use us. See, we're not a vessel just set back that God stands here with a picture and pours us full of blessings. But we're supposed to be a vessel that's used of God. And he cannot use us with sin in our life. David has realized that. And he's in verse number 1 and he starts out and he says, have mercy upon me. Now David, we see that he's calling out unto God, but we see that he's already been approached by the priest and knowing that there has been a sin committed. Everybody else around knows that David has committed a sin. But David's eyes are not on what's around him. There's sometimes when you mess up and those sins are committed, what happens is you get those that like to gossip. And they're going to go around. Let me just go ahead and say it. Inside of the house of God, when sins are committed, there's a break in fellowship, but there should never be a time to where other Christians are running others down inside the church when those sins are committed. You want to say something to somebody? Say it to God and pray for them. Otherwise, you're hurting the church. We see that David right here, that's what's happening. People's talking around him. David's focus is not on that. See, oftentimes when those things happen, people go to gossiping around. It gets the Christian discouraged and they leave the church. They get their eyes on everybody else and they're gone. But what David has done is he's kept his eyes on God. And I believe David is broken inside of his heart as you begin to dive into the psalm right here. We see that he's crying out unto God and he's saying, have mercy upon me. David said, Lord, I committed this sin. I know that I've messed up. I know that I've sinned against you, whether little or big. You and I can say the same in our life, probably on a daily basis. We have failed God. There is something that will drive a wedge between us and God. And God, He expects us to live for Him, but He knows that we are still robed in flesh. He knows our nature. He knows that we're going to fail. And David's crying out, Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me for what I've done. There should be times in our life where we get before God and cry out that God would forgive and God would restore us to a place to where we can serve and worship Him. If those times are not present in your life, if they're not coming about all the time and where we're confessing unto God, asking Him to keep us in the fellowship, that would explain why your service has got slack, why it seems like God's not touching and moving, why it seems like God's not blessing so many times. It's because something has been harbored inside of our heart that has divided my worship from the Lord.
Yes.
It's not that God has ever turned and walked away from me, but it's when I turn and walk towards the sinful things of life, I've turned and walked away from God. He's standing there waiting for me to come back. But too often times, a lot of Christians get comfortable in the sinful things. Not saying they're big sins like David's committed. Not saying they're open sins like everybody had seen the ones that David committed. Something inside of your heart that nobody may know about, that nobody may find out. But still, God knows that it's a struggle barrier between you and God. He's not able to use you. You're not able to worship Him the way that you should.
David's crying out, said, Lord, have mercy upon me. You say, why is David so confident that the Lord can forgive and have mercy? Because David already knows that there is a Savior that's going to come on the cross of Calvary. You and I know that He came to the cross of Calvary. David points to this in the verses 5, 6, and 7 when he refers to the sinful nature. David's just saying, because of that blood, I know that He'll have mercy on me. God is not somebody that's going to beat me over the head. He knows my nature. He knows that I'm filthy at best. And when I bow down before Him and ask Him for forgiveness and restoration, there's going to be, I would call it, a healing period that would have to take place sometimes. The Lord's not just going to put you right back where you was at, but the Lord will forgive that sin. He's faithful to forgive that sin, as we would find outside the Word of God, and then He will restore back the fellowship that we have lost with Him. In verse number 2, He talks about, wash me thoroughly. He's just saying, as much as I desire to be clean from this sin, He's saying it's going to take the hand of the Lord to get me back to where I need to be. I can sit inside of the house of God with something inside of my heart, and I can look right, I can act right, I can stand and teach the Sunday school lesson right, I can make everything seem right, but I can still be wrong. It's going to take me getting unto God and letting Him handle that in order for my worship to ever be right inside the house of God. I wonder why church numbers are falling off. I wonder why people seem like they're not worshiping. I wonder why people seem like they've lost the zeal about them. David gets into all that right here, and he's saying that sin takes that out of our life. The desire to worship God leaves when stuff's harbored inside of our heart. I understand there's times we get discouraged in the valley, but I'm talking about just point blank walked away from God. Sitting on the church pew, but walked away from God. Never worshiping, never serving, never praising because of sin inside of our heart. See, we act like it's a big deal for God to have to do that work. But let me tell you something. Everything was covered on Calvary. The past sin, present sin, future sin, it was all put under the blood. There's nothing that He could not handle with the blood shed on the cross of Calvary. And with that, it tells me that I've just got to get my heart yoked back up by confessing to Him. That's all this takes. It's a simple act in God for us to work. Verse number 3, He says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Right here in verse number 3, David makes a realization that a lot of people don't want to make of, I have failed. In the first part of 3, he said, I've messed up. Lord, I have went awry. I have committed a transgression against You. And he said, Lord, he said, my sin's ever before me. Not only is it before me now, affecting me, he's just saying, and you and I would know it because of the consequences that David faced of the sin throughout the entirety of his life after this. He said, this sin is always going to be in front of me. He said, it's always going to be laid out there. He said, but Lord, You can forgive that sin. You can restore me back. Even though man's going to bring it up, and there's going to be times in your heart that the devil's going to be like, well, you remember that time that this happened? You remember the time that you had done this? You remember the time that you failed the Lord here? David's just saying, all that's going to be laid out before me. But still yet, Lord, You can restore me to a place where I can worship. David's just saying, I need to keep my eyes on You in the midst of this. In the midst of, I've done wrong, but Lord, restore me back where my focus is on You. And it's a simple thing to ask God to restore us. A lot of times, we think that we can't worship after sin. We think that we can't serve after sin. That's not the case. The Lord knows we're going to mess up. The Lord knows we're going to fail. And that's going to be all the time until He comes back and takes us home and we're in a glorified body, because we are robed in flesh. And the Lord knows that we are robed in flesh. He's not naive to that fact. That's why He died on the cross of Calvary and shed that blood for you and I. But there is consequences at times for sin. Whether it's a short consequence, whether it's a long consequence, even though the Lord punishes, He still loves, and we can still worship Him in the midst of that.
Yes.
It's just like a parent that would whoop their child. They get the whooping because the parent loves the child. If they don't whoop the child, it means that they don't care for them that much and that they're not really worried about the future that they would have. It's the same aspect with the Lord. He's going to punish us, but we can still worship Him. He's shown His love towards us, and our worship shows our love back towards Him. In verse number 4, He goes on down. He says, against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and thou makest that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. In verse number 4, he's telling him, he said, Lord, he said, I've sinned. He said, everybody else is out here talking about it. Everybody out here is bringing it up. Whether that's the case or not, with something inside of your life, he said, against thee only have I sinned. He said, Lord, I broke the fellowship between me and you. Not anybody else concerned in this situation. When that fellowship is broken, it's not the person beside you on the pew's decision of what should take place. But he said, God, you are the righteous judge. Help me. Help me to serve and worship you. Turn away from the things that's separated our fellowship. In verse number 5, he goes on. He said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Right here, verse number 5, he said, Lord, he said, you know my flesh. All of us were robed in flesh, born of flesh. All of us were born of a sin nature. He said, Lord, I'm not trying to justify what I've done. And he said, but Lord, I failed because of the flesh that I'm robed in. In verse number 6, he says, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the inward parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Yeah. Now I read the first 5 verses and I was thinking, you know, I've not got nothing really that I've sinned and separated my fellowship with God. Nothing real big, nothing that would keep me from worshiping God, nothing that would keep me from serving God. And I'm going through the first 5 verses when I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I'm all right. I'm good to go. And then I got to verse number 6. And that hit home. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden parts. You know what he's talking about? If I ain't giving him all my heart and I'm harboring part of it, then I'm sinning against God. Yeah. That's driving a wedge between me and him. Yeah. Wonder why I can't worship sometimes when I'm not going out and done the sins of this world. Like everybody would say, you know, you're not a child of God if you've done all that. Well, I have done all that, but there's times it seems like I can't worship you. Say, what's happened? I'm not giving him everything inside. I'm not letting him have all the rooms. There's a lot of times that I'll say I give God 90% and I'll take 10 for myself. Lord, you can have me up to this point, and this is where I'm stopping at. David's just saying, if I can't give it all to God, there's still sin inside of my heart. There's still a reason that I can't worship. It may not be something big that's dragging you down. It may be just some little minute thing in your life that's hindering your whole life from worshiping the Lord. Nothing big, just a little thing that's keeping you from serving. Verse number 7, David says, Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now the hyssop that he's talking about here, this was something that was used when they would make sacrifices for sin. It would be put all over the offering that was offered up unto God. And the hyssop was something that was had a strong aroma about it, something that was meant to be a sweet smell. And David said, I need to be purged with that sweet smell. And then he says, and I shall be whiter than snow. And he said, the smell ought to be sweet and the appearance ought to be right. When I read verse 7, that takes me to the cross of Calvary, right off the bat. Our Lord died on the cross of Calvary. He became the sacrifice that was washed whiter than snow and became the sacrifice that was a sweet smell and savor unto a heavenly Father. And it says that right after verse number 5 and 6. So he said, Lord, you went to Calvary because you knew who I was and because you knew that I was a sinner that needed saving and that you know me, the entirety of my heart, the hidden parts and the unhidden parts. He said, the Lord, still yet you're willing to clean me up. So he's just saying, there's not a sin that you can't take out of my life, that you can't help me come back from, to where I can worship you. Yeah. Verse number 8, he begins to describe some things that's happening in his life because of sin that's entered in. Some good indicators of things that if you can say this is what's going on in your life, then there's a division between you and God. There's something that's crept into your life that's keeping you from serving Him right. In verse number 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that my bones, which thou hast broken, may rejoice. He talks about the broken bones, something that is painful, something that is hurting. He said, Lord, he said, the joy that I did have, the joy that I once had when I could serve and worship you, and he said, it's gone. He said, Lord, I says all that I'm feeling is the pain of the separation between me and you. I can say I know what he's talking about in verse number 8. When sin's been committed in my life, I can come to the house of God and I can sit on the pew. And it may be that God would sweep in a service and God would begin to touch and move and people's popping up and testifying. Some's shouting, some's praying in the altar. And it seems like I'm sitting there knowing what needs to be done. But I sit there and I place it with pain inside of my heart. Can't worship the Lord. Can't serve the Lord. Knowing that the Lord is moving and I'm not feeling the presence of the Lord. You say, what's happened? There's been a division. There's been sin that has not been handled and not been taken care of in my life. Verse number 9. He says, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. This is the second time he said blot out. Verse number 1, he said it as well. What he's saying is, you and I would know from the Word of God that our Lord has cast away our sin as far as the east is from the west. It means they're gone. They can't never come back. They just keep on going that direction. But blotting out. I don't know if you've ever seen a document that has been redacted before and there's places in it that they take a Sharpie and they'll black over certain lines. And you don't know what's behind that part. It's all your imagination from there because nothing is confirmed. He's just saying, well, that's what God's done to my sin. He's saying he can look down and he don't see that sin anymore because of the blood. He said, all I've got to do is ask God to forgive and God to restore. When he looks upon me, he's looking upon me as a vessel that he is pleased with instead of one that he cannot use that is broken. In verse number 10, he goes on. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse number 10, David's talking about a walk with God. And he said, restore me, Lord. Bring me back to a place where you can use me. Verse number 11 through 15, he begins to describe some of those things again. And in verse 12, he says, he's lost his joy. In verse 12, at the end of it, he says he's lost the freedom of the Spirit to serve the Lord. In verse number 13, he's lost the ability to teach unto those that are around him. In verse number 14, he's lost the ability to sing and teach of the righteousness of the Lord. In verse number 15, he's lost the ability to utter praise from his mouth unto the Lord. Yeah. He said, I've lost all my fellowship with God. One sin, and Lord, everything just went out the window. David right here, we know that he's broken at this point. He's calling out, asking God to restore. God, I want to be a witness for you. God, I want to have that joy back. Lord, I want to go out. You say, how do you know he's wanting to do these things? Because he says, oh Lord, thou open my lips. He said, God, you silenced me at this point because of sin. It don't matter how much I go out and I try to witness or how much I try to beat the streets to be a witness for God. It's going to fall on deaf ears if there's sin inside of my heart. I've got to be yoked up with God for Him to use me. You say, is the Lord here, David? I believe He did. You say, why? Because David was a man after God's own heart and God continued to bless David. Even though there was consequences for that sin, God had His hand upon the life of David. You and I can say the same thing. As many times as we tell the Lord, He has still been faithful to touch our life and give blessings and mercy and grace that you and I have not deserved. We just got to be faithful and get on our knees before Him and to ask for forgiveness of those sins. What happens is sin is kind of like, think of it kind of like a dead animal. When the sin first happens, it's just one of those things that animal's dead. First day. Nothing real bad about it. It's just a dead animal. But as the sun begins to hit that animal, it begins to swell up. And it begins to stink. And it begins to smell bad. And eventually it's going to pop and it's going to be real bad on the smell. That's the way that sin is. Right off the bat, it's that one sin that's pulled us in. We can get a handle at that point or we can let it go. If we let it go, what's going to happen is it's going to begin to grow. And that's going to push you somewhere else. That's going to push you somewhere else. That stuff's going to begin to stink a whole lot worse. And it's going to not only affect you, but it's going to affect everybody around you. It's going to affect the church. It's going to affect all the other Christians that you come in contact with. Because you didn't deal with it when the Lord sent conviction. That's what's happened. Lord convicted David. David said, Lord, I'm wrong. I failed. I've messed up. I need your forgiveness in my life. Verse number 16 and 17. He says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Thou sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What David said right here, I believe, is verse 16, he said, Lord, I could go and I could sacrifice on the altar. Sacrifice that lamb, that goat, the dove, whatever it may be, the bullock. I could do that sacrifice, and to everybody else it would look right. To everybody else it would look like that sin had God atoned for. I can sit here on the church pew and I can make everything look right, look like I'm the child of God that I'm supposed to be. I've dressed right, sung in the choir, I've taught the lessons right. I've been faithful in the house of God every time the doors have been opened. I could stand and I could testify in the testimony service. I could make everything look good. I could work the tears up when they needed to be. I could be in the altar when it seemed like the Lord was moving inside of the service. I could do all that and make it seem right. But David said, until something happens in my heart, nothing has ever changed. He's just saying, I could sit on the church pew with sin in my heart, not serving God, not worshiping God, have a division between me and God, and things never get settled. But I could be a faithful person to the house of God, and nobody would know the difference. David said, it takes a broken heart. It takes conviction of the Lord to come in. And it takes me being sensitive unto God for me to get to a place where God can use me. Why not submit all for everything back unto the Lord? Why not turn it all into Him and enjoy the joy that He gives unto your heart? And enjoy the worship that you can give unto Him and to the praise. You get to thinking about when the Lord first saved you. You remember how it felt? All that feeling that come over you, and something new, something exciting. And it's just like you wanted to tell everybody what had happened. You wanted to just rejoice. You said, what happened? At that point, everything was settled. There wasn't no sin in the way. That was a point of excitement inside of your life. Why wouldn't you want that throughout the entirety of your walk with God? Why would you let sin harbor in and drive that wedge between you and God? But David says something interesting in the last two verses. He says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build there on the walls of Jerusalem. And then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shalt they offer bullocks upon an altar. Now, if I'm reading and I'm understanding this right, David, this whole time he's talking about a division between him and God and his heart because of sin. And now in verse number 18 and verse number 19, he's just saying, not only has that sin affected my walk with the Lord, he said, but that sin's affected all the other Christians around me, and that sin's affected the house of God. The same applies to you and I. That sin you may think that you've got harbored up that nobody else sees, that you think that you've got it fixed and making everything look right, it's not just affecting your worship, but it's affecting the worship of everybody inside these four walls this morning. It's affecting this whole church. I would hate to know when I get to life's other side that I've sat on a church pew, whether it's been for days, whether it's been weeks, whether it's been for years, and the Lord judged me and said, if you would have dealt with that, I could have took the church a whole lot further down the road. I would hate to know that I'm the hindrance to the Lord moving inside of the church. He said, what would make you assume something like that goes on? I don't know if he says it sometimes. I don't know if you know it. There's sometimes inside the house of God, it's like a hindrance spirit. There's sometimes the spirit's sweet. Sometimes the spirit moves. He's like it's got free course. It seems like it's easier to teach Sunday school lessons. It'd make it easier for our pastor to preach when he's up here. And then there's sometimes it's just like somebody's choking the life out of the service. You said, what's happened? There's sin in the hearts that's keeping God from moving inside the service.
Yeah.
I wonder this morning, I wonder how long you would harbor that sin inside of your heart. Spurn the invitation of God, hurt the church from going on down the road with God before you ever got it dealt with. David tells us throughout the lesson, it's not worth it. It's not worth missing out on the joy. And let me tell you, God is faithful and forgiving sin. Amen. God is faithful and restoring His Christians. Amen. He's not turned a blind eye unto us. Instead, He's standing there waiting, I believe, with open arms, waiting on us to get back in fellowship where we can serve and praise Him.
Amen. I just want you to know.